20. And we're going to bring a message today. It might seem somewhat hard, but I'm glad today that when I was lost and undone without God, that there was a preacher man that would preach a hard message, that would tell me the truth about my life and where I was going in life. So I appreciate hard preaching, and we're going to be preaching a hard message today. And if we had a thought and a title, I thought it's kind of catchy, Going to Hell in a Church Pew. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think, well, you know, that you the only way you can go to hell is to go to a bar, or the only way that you can go to hell is to go out here and be found in a peculiar place. But no, you can go to hell in a church pew today. And I want you to realize that today. And the Bible's going to speak directly on that today. And I'm just a voice box for the Lord. And we just pray that the Lord will use us today. But if you have a copy of God's Word, it would turn with us into Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. But I want you to realize before we read the scripture today that today our church pews are filled with modern day Pharisees. Amen. We're going to be talking a lot about Pharisees today. And can we give a better reason for your hope than what these Pharisees gave today? Because the Bible is very plain and condemning about the life of them. And I want you to realize in 2019 that we have Pharisees that sit in our church pews today. And I want you to realize that today. You might even be one today, but this is a very special place for you, because we're going to tell you what God has to say to your heart today. So I'm excited about today's message, and I hope that you'll get excited with me. And we're going to read, if you will, just stand. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture just to honor God's word. And that's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible reads, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word. We thank you for the message. We pray that you'd bless the messenger today, Lord. As we look into thy word, Father, we just pray that we would realize that there's a lot of things that we have, a lot of things we can obtain, but those that are precious, Lord, come only through you. And Father, we thank you so much that you give us this people in this time. And Father, we pray that for an unction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and that you'd overshadow your people with the Spirit here today. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. And I hope today that as we do that, are we off or on? Are we off? Well, you ain't the only one that's ever told me at church that I was off. Now we're off. Now we're on. The reason we do that is because it's broadcast over the airwaves and there's CDs available when you get ready. That's why we use a microphone, not that I need one for any other purpose, but they're recording. But I want you to realize today as we go in there and we think about that going to hell in a church pew. And, you know, a lot of folks get very comfortable in a church pew. You know what I'm saying? I've actually seen folks go to sleep at church. Amen. I have. There's a few times I wish I had. But I want you to realize today that as they sit in the church pew, and one of the great ploys of the devil is that folks get saved and satisfied. Amen. They sit down and they get all comfortable in those old pews. And, you know, these Pharisees that we have today, one of the things that they would profess to the Lord is that I'm a church member. I am a member of a church. Well, the Pharisees were a church-going bunch, by the way. They followed the precepts of practice. They followed the precepts of practice. They knew the law. They practiced the law. Now, the Pharisees belonged to this aristocratic church over here of their day. But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is speaking to you today. If you're depending on your church membership, you're walking down a greasy plank today, amen. You're walking to a place over there because these were church members of their day. As a matter of fact, they ruled and reigned the church. But I'm here to tell you today, by the authority of God, not everything that sits in a church pew is saved. I would go one step further. Not everything that's behind the pulpit is called. We're living in those days where that the Bible says in the last days, he said, I'll send them great delusions. Do you know where the devil's going to send great delusions? From the pulpits to the church pew. See, that delusion starts in the church. And the Bible says that they can believe a lie and be damned. You know, another thing over there, if you'll turn with us over there in Matthew chapter 23. And Matthew chapter 3 in curiosity over there is dedicated to profiling the Pharisee. That's what it is. It's a profile of what a Pharisee. Isn't it strange, though, that he talks about the Pharisees, and then in 24 he talks about the end of the world? Is that strange? It's planned that way, amen. Because we're living in those last days, right before the tribulation, right before the rapture of the church, right before the Lord calls us home, that the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. Bible says in the last days that they'll have a form of godliness and they'll deny the power thereof. That's that Pharisean attitude that'll sweep in here. In the last days, right before the Lord comes and raptures the church, right before the Lord takes it away. And one might say over there, the Pharisees say, well, you know, I'm a church member. And I'm working for my church. Well, there's one thing wrong with that. It ain't yours. Amen. There's one thing with that is it ain't yours. Because Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15 is going to say this. Matthew chapter 23 verse 15 says this. It said, in matter of fact, I like 23 for it uses the word woe more than wagon train. Woe. I mean, y'all like old westerns and wagon train. You know, when they get things running away and they can't get nothing stopped. And them old boys, they'll right back on there and say, whoa. In other words, the Lord's saying, whoa unto them. But this woe ain't like the woe to a horse. It ain't stopped. Well, I feel sorry for you because you went beyond the point. You've gone too far. Now destruction's coming your way. And he uses that word woe in chapter 23, 23 times. Isn't that ironic? He said, woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees. And he goes on and tags them again, hypocrites. Woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites. For ye compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. You say, well, that don't make no sense. Well, I'm glad you asked. In other words, these Pharisees will disciple a new convert into the church, teaching them the same heresy. And they're twice as bad as the teacher. That's what it's saying. A proselyte, by the way, was a non-Jew that was converted to Judaism. We have proselytes today, a non-Christian that's converted to Christianity. But the hope of America is to get the Pharisees out of the church. Amen? Amen. See, your hope ain't in Washington, D.C. Your hope's in Christ. Your hope is in, it's not in politics, whether this much is up there, that much is up there. Hey, they'll burn up at the end of this thing. The eternal difference in America would come from the pulpits of America and getting the Pharisees out of the church of God. I'm working in my church. Who for? Who for? Married Jehovah Witness, they're working hard. Well, I tell you what, I admire them folks to one degree or another. Amen. I seen two the other day riding a bicycle. Sure did. Can you see Baptists riding a bicycle to go out and visit? No. Our air conditioner's tore. It's too hot to go out and visit. You know how we. But the problem is, they're just working for the church or an institution or a thought. They're not working for the Lord. You know, a lot of times it makes a difference who you work for, don't you? Why does it make a difference who you work for? Well, it makes a difference who pays you. Amen. That's right. You know, that's why some of y'all work at the bank, and that's why some of y'all work over here and work over. And at the end of the day, because you work there, you expect them to pay you. Well, if you're working for the church ain't got no pay. Amen. I work for the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it don't pay much. I'll tell you, it don't pay much of anything. But its retirement plan is out of this world. Amen. Hey, listen. We got Pharisees that said in the church, and they're going to hell in the church pew while they're working for the church. While they're working for the church. I'm glad today that somebody asked me one time, and you know, I've been a pastor here for 38 years come September, I think it is. I don't know. Something like that. And people says, well, how do you stay so long? Well, if the truth of the matter is, nobody else would have me. And I probably couldn't give y'all to no one either. So we're just stuck with each other. You know, we're just kind of stuck with each other. But the truth of the matter is, I have never, ever pastored for Moss Memorial Baptist Church. Amen. I'm here on commission of the Lord. And y'all don't pay me. He does. So we remember who you work for. And see, that's one of the reasons that you can go to hell in a church pew. You forget who you're there for. Church ain't never saved nobody. Amen. Church ain't never healed nobody. Church ain't never done these things. I want you to realize that today, that you can go to hell in a church pew, if all your hope is in working for the church. No, it's by grace you're saved, by faith, lest any man should boast. You ain't got anything to boast about today. Well, some of these Pharisees said, well, you know, I'm a church member. I work in my church, and I pray. Well, he had something to say about that. Look in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14. He said over there, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and from the pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You know, it said that these Pharisees, they done everything for show. You ever see folks in church do stuff for show? Matter of fact, it said over there, then we'll get to that in a minute, when they come up and they put money in the offering plate, they'd have them a bugler there and do da-da-da-da. Look what I know. It's why the Bible says that they become as a sounding brass or a twinkling cymbal. In other words, they wasn't nothing but a bunch of noise. Amen? You ever have folks in there that seem to have a lot of spirituality, but there's no substance to them? You know what I'm saying? You know, I know people in my life who could curse and pray in the same sentence. You ever know anybody like that? Listen, these Pharisees over there, he said, well, we pray. And the Lord said, well, let me tell you something about your prayers. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. In other words, it was all show. They wouldn't go out and lift a hand to help a widow. They wouldn't go out and help a hand to do the things that God's commissioned us to do. But when it came over there, they made big dramatic prayers to cover up what they didn't do. And said there's greater damnation than that. My Bible tells me if I got to pray, tell me go hunt me a closet. You know, how many of y'all used to date and maybe dated and had to take your older sister with you or something, or your aunt? Anybody ever have to do that? You know, in the old South, you couldn't go out. You had to have a chaperone. And nobody here had to take their older brother or their older sister with them on a date. My, y'all are lucky. If you could imagine it just for a moment, that third party just didn't fit in, did it? No. Neither does it in prayer. I don't need nobody else but the Lord praying, amen. I don't need to publicly come up here and dramatically come over there. And I'll tell you, the Bible says that's what the heathens do. Well, here we got a man who's a church member. We got a person over there that's working in church. We got a person over there who's praying in church. And you say, well, you know, on top of all that, I give my tithe. Luke chapter 18, verse 12. Luke chapter 18, verse 12. By the way, I like this parable. I like it so much, I'm going to have to force you to let me read verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto us, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He's talking about the Pharisees here. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, said, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men or extorters, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican standing far off, who would not lift up so much as his eye unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. So here we got folks sitting in the pew over there, saying, well, I'm a church member. We got folks sitting in the pew over there says, I'm working for my church. We got folks over here said, well, I pray. And then we got folks over there says, well, I tithe. Well, let's see what the Pharisee did in his support. According to Luke chapter 18, he said, I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, I'm here to tell you, and you probably won't hear this in many churches because it's just an unpopular thing to be said in churches over there, and I'm one of the few people that will tell you that God ain't broke. I get tired of these preachers who sit around and beg money over there like God's broke, amen. He owns it all. Not part of it. Not 10% of it. He owns it all. So I'm just here to tell you that God ain't broke. But some folks over there think because they're tithing. Well, the Pharisees tithed over there. And as they went up to the temple over there to pray, we had one over there, he said that, listen, I fast twice a week, I tithe, and thank God I'm not like that publican over there. Bible said that publican stood afar off. Do you know why he stood afar off? Because he couldn't go in the temple. You know why that he wasn't in the temple? Because he wasn't allowed in the temple. Did you know over there that all he said over there, he smote his breast? And said, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Amen. The Bible says that that man went home justified rather than the other. By the way, one of the most beautiful words in the Word of God is that word justified. Amen. You know what that means? Just as if it never happened. Just as if I had never sinned. Just as if it had never happened in my life. Oh, that word justification is a wonderful, wonderful word. But you got folks that are church members. You got folks that are working for the church. You got folks over there that are praying. You got folks over there that are giving their money. You got folks over there that says, well, I've come out of this. I'm separated. The Pharisees were separated people, more so than others. They did not, they grabbed their distinction by their religion. And I'll be honest with you, if any, without a better way of saying it, they were religious snobs of their time. How many folks would give me a witness, you know some snobs in church, amen? You know some people that... little miss better than I am to you. People over there that kind of look down their noses at other folks. Well, the Pharisees, they were kind of a snobbish society over there. Matter of fact, in going back to our text over there in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord had something to say about that. He said in Matthew chapter 23, and I believe it's verse 5, he says this, 23 and verse 5. He said, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their pastures and enlarge the borders of their garments. Well, have you ever seen folks that just go to church to be seen? Oh yes. Oh yes. I mean, you know, and these folks wanted to distinct themselves as the Pharisees, and because of the way that we dress and because of the way that we are, we're separated from the world. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, the Bible says that we're in the world, not of the world. Amen. Did you know that you are a pilgrim going to a better place? Did you know over there that this whole world, hey, listen, if we got any tree huggers out there, we've got anybody over there that are wanting to save the rainforest, if we got anybody over there who, listen, I've got bad news. I got good news for you and I got bad news for you. Let me give you the bad news first. Now let me give you the good news first. The good news is it's going to be all right. The bad news is there's no hope for this place. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he'll burn with the fervent heat. It says the very elements will be burned up. You see, we're pilgrims on a journey passing through a temporary place. See, you'd think that this place was somebody's home, amen? You would think that you're going to live here forever. You'd think over there that there's something over. Listen, that's why the word, the only person that I knew that used the word pilgrim anymore than the Lord was John Wayne. John Wayne liked that word pilgrim, didn't he? What is a pilgrim? That's somebody who's on a journey from one place to the other. He's just stopping on the way. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. As a matter of fact, to me, this world is like a Motel 6. You know, when I go to a Motel 6, I don't worry about leaving stuff in the floor. I don't worry about hanging up towels. They're going to pay somebody to do that. Why is that? This ain't my home. Trash that baby. Go on to the next one. The Pharisees wanted to live a separated life that they should show the world of their permanence here. I'm here to tell you today that, yes, the Lord has called us to live a separated life, but not a separated life as we think about the Pharisees. We are to separate ourselves from sin and live that life as a testimony to the whole world. How are you going to catch fish if you don't go to the fishing hole? Amen? How are you going to win the world if you don't go out and tell the world what he's calling us to do? And if the Pharisees did not understand, it's not that we put ourselves in social categories where that we do that, but we separate our lives by the separation of sin. We live a life and the world recognizes that difference in our life, and that is your testimony. He's called us for a separation in sin. In Matthew chapter 5 it says, but their works they are seen of men. They were separated only to make a big show. You know, I look at some of these TV preachers and it's all dramatics. It's all a show. It's all these things over there. Nothing genuine about it. So here we got somebody. You probably know somebody there. They're a church member. They work in their church. They pray. They tithe. To be honest with you, they live a clean life. But you know the Bible has something to say about that. Look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortions and excess. In other words, you look good and clean on the inside. I mean on the outside, but the inside's nasty. Sometimes I drive my Lincoln up here. That's my Indonesian funeral loafering car. Because the only time we ever ride it is go to the funeral loafer. Sometimes we keep that thing, and it'll look like it come off the showroom outside. You step inside, and boy, that thing's nasty. You got down there and you've seen it over there, you know, you'd think, well, you know, that's a pretty good car, you know, right there. And open it up and say,
It's not that bad.
Sometimes you wipe your feet when you get out of it. Well, I live a clean life. Said, woe unto you that make the outside of the cup and platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. You know, the outside don't matter near as much as the inside as far as the Lord comes from. You know the Lord looks at the heart. He didn't look at your hairdo to see if it was blown this right this morning. He didn't look over there to see what you was wearing. He didn't look over there to see if your fingernails were clean. He looked at the heart. We could take a message from that today, could we not? We really could. You know, a fellow told me one time that he met a homeless person, and he told us to be the truth. And a homeless person had tried to go into one of these big First Baptist churches somewhere. We're probably the only denomination in the world. We fight and fuss so much we have to name casualties. First Baptist. Split off and become Second Baptist. And on down the line. But anyway, he got run out and said he was sat full. He's sitting on the sidewalk. Somebody come up to him and heard him pray and said, Lord, said, I don't know why. Said, they just wouldn't let me in that church. And said, the Lord spoke to that homeless person there. And he said, don't worry about it, son. I've been trying to get in that church myself. Been trying to get in there. You know, the Lord, I believe. The Lord. And Him only knows the truth about any of us. Because He looks at the inside. He looks at the inside. So here we have a person. Let's go by. Let's recap just for a moment. And we're closing. I know someone said, oh, that's 15 more minutes. Maybe not. But we're closing. You're a church member. You're working for the church, you're praying for the church, you're tithing for the church, you have a clean outside, you're separated from the world, and you're going to hell in a church pew. John chapter 3 and verse 3. We'll close with this. Let's go to verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a famous Pharisee of his day. And that same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no other man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, ye must be born again. A lot of folks today will die and go to hell because they hooked the wagon backwards. Put the cart before the horse. The reason that I'm a church member is I've been born again. The reason I work in my church is because I've been born again. The reason that I pray, because I've got past the sinner's prayer and I can pray for somebody else, and my prayer is not, Father, forgive me, because I've been born again. The reason I give my tithe is because I've been born again. The reason I live for the Lord Jesus Christ is because I've been washed thoroughly, and I can be clean, and I've been born again. The reason that I live a separated life is because there's only one thing that separated me from anyone else, and it was the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a boundary over there, and I've been washed in by the blood of Jesus over there. And that's the reason why I live a separated life. It's because I've been born again. Listen, you can do all these things and sit in that church pew and die and go to hell. You've not been born again. And I'm ashamed to tell you, and I'm afraid to tell you, but I'm here to tell you, in 2019, I think there's a lot of folks that are in the house of God today that have not been born again. Now, you can ride that pew all the way to hell. You can ride that pew until you go to your grave. But what must I do to be saved? Ye must be born again. Y'all come on, get a song. Most serious subject I could present to you today is your eternal existence. I don't like to use that eternal life because it's an eternal existence. You die and go to hell, you would live forever in tormented pain in a place called hell. That's eternal existence. Or you could have eternal life today and sit around the throne room of God. There won't be no 24/7 because time will be no more. Amen. Hey, wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to take that thing and just throw it away? No time. You know, everything that we've got is time. Time is running out. I'm going to a place where there won't be no wristwatches, there won't be no alarm clocks, there won't be no calendars. Why is that? It's because time will be no more. I'm looking forward to eternity. We're going to ask you to come today. You might be that church member that's going to ride that pew all the way to hell if you don't come and ask Jesus Christ to come in your life today. There's some folks in here today that know someone. They might be a church member, they might be, but they've never come and asked Jesus Christ to come. You need to come and pray for them. I'm going to tell you something today. I believe outside of the devil himself, I believe that religion will send more people to hell than anything I know. Religion. But why is that? It's because religion blinds people to the truth of themselves sometimes. And the devil will use that. The devil will use that. The devil will blind people to the point over there that they do all these things, but they never invite Jesus Christ in their lives today. Y'all come on. I'm done. Y'all come on. Y'all sing.